This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
I'm doing good. So here we are, February. Let's just talk about, before we get into some of the lackluster play that we've seen this week, let's just get into the fact that there is a chance maybe before March, maybe at the very like first week of March, the Capitals could potentially lock up a playoff spot no matter what, no matter what happens for the rest of the year. They could lock up a spot end of February, early March. That's pretty amazing for this team, and that's pretty amazing for the organization, for the fan base. I don't remember the last time that the Capitals have been able to do that. Or any team, really, been able to lock up a playoff.
The majority of years, I feel like, they certainly had an opportunity. I'd have to go and look at the numbers to see when they could realistically lock one up. Not likely have one locked up, but realistically have one locked up. I don't know if they're quite there yet. I know people have been talking about it.
Right.
I mean, the odds of them missing the playoffs are astronomical at this point. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. If you look at the standings, they are 18 points up with one less game played than the Rangers. So they are so far ahead of them, it's ridiculous. They are 17 points up on in the Eastern Conference on second place Florida. They're leading the Atlantic, which is the two teams in Florida are leading the Atlantic. What the hell is going on? And they're 10 points up on Dallas for the number one team in the NHL with two less games played. This is ridiculous.
Yeah,
I don't understand. They got 92 points. Caps currently 44-11-4. The thing is, like, we've talked about this before to some extent in the Boudreaux era where we were talking about how they were so great. But it didn't seem like it was to the same level. Like, it was great and everyone was like, rah, rah, yeah, they're doing great. But now it seems like everyone's giving them more credit because they're quote-unquote playing hockey the right way, as everyone says. They're playing defense consistently. They're not blowing out teams, you know, 6-7 every night. Like, they're getting realistic wins. And at the locking up of playoffs, I have to go and look, but I mean, I don't know where they are right now, but who's in the sixth spot right now, or eighth spot, I should say. The Penguins are. The Caps are almost 30 points ahead of them. Yeah, they could lock up a playoff spot pretty quickly. They only got two more games before the end of the month, so I don't know if it'll be by the end of the month, but it certainly could be shortly afterwards.
If things would have went a little bit better against Montreal, maybe they would have been able to lock it up.
You can go back and say that about a couple of games.
Yeah, so let's jump right into that then. Let's talk about it. So the last time that we talked, you usually handle this, but the Caps went 3-1 pretty much. they came out with three wins.
Like every week.
That's what it feels like.
They went 3-1. They went 2-1. They went 4-1. Like, that's all we're talking about.
Yeah, one overtime win, two regulation, and then a loss against Montreal. I want to talk to you though. I mean, we really can't talk about win loss, how to improve, whatever. But let's talk about Brayden.
Oh, we can talk about how to improve.
Yeah, that we'll get into that.
They should be playing better.
They're coming out of the gate super slow. They are. It seems as if they wake up halfway through the second period that they're like, "Oh, I'm supposed to play hockey now." What is going on with this team? Yeah, what's going on with this team since the All-Star break that they're coming out with such slow starts? Are they not motivated? Like, we just talked about it. They could lock up a playoff spot in the next week or two. Is that a good thing for this team? Because they seem as if they don't have anything to play for right now.
Yeah, because you want them to be playing at a high level going into the playoffs. It's almost like the teams that are fighting for a playoff spot to some extent have an advantage going into the playoffs because they have already been fighting for their lives and they're prepared to continue doing it. And for teams that clinch so far in advance, whether it's, you know, a month and a half or 3 weeks, they ease up on the gas a little bit and they sort of coast. And you're not quite pushing quite as hard as you should be going into an incredibly difficult playoff run, no matter who you're up against. So I think they have the coaching staff. I think they have the players around this team, the veteran guys that have been there before, that can tell them that they need to continue playing hard, that they can't just coast because they've been playing so well. Like, it's not a joke. You have to keep going. You can't just take a night off. So I'm not too concerned about the team at the moment. I think that they're playing okay overall. I mean, if you go and you look at it, I tweeted something similar to this, but there's two sides to look at it. Like, especially with the Montreal game, you can look at it that they played so poorly against Montreal and still almost got a point out of that game, at least a point out of that game.
Yeah.
Or you can look at it like they just played so poorly. So there's two different ways to look at it, that they suck or that they sucked and still had a chance. I think that the way the players are looking at it is we did not play well enough. And why? It's sort of tough to say. Like, you'd expect them to be playing better considering how well they've been doing. If you look back at the All-Star break, yeah, they have sort of an excuse right around the time because they had the time off because of the blizzard. They had that time off because of the All-Star break. So a couple of games going in, you knew they're going to be a little sluggish. But it's been a while now.
Yeah.
They should be playing better, especially in the first period, and they know it, and the guys have talked about it. We've seen guys talk to the press about how the fact that they're not pleased about the fact that they've been playing so poorly, and it annoys me because you look at it and you go, well, we haven't been playing poorly, we know it. If you know it, do something! Do something different! If you know it, it's the definition of insanity, right? It's doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Right.
If you know what you're doing is not working, do something different! Duh.
Well, it looks like Barry Trotz is kind of thinking that way. This is the third or fourth game in the last month and a half or whatever that he's pulled Braden Holtby. He's taken him out of net, put in Philip Grubauer halfway through the game. We talked about it last week how he's brought up the fact that, you know, Holtby, this team doesn't deserve to have Holtby in their net. We're going to put in Grubauer, putting in the backup because they're doing so poorly. What's your call here? Because in that Montreal game, Holtby let three goals go. Is Holtby going through a slump, or is the defense going through a slump?
I think a whole team, with the exception of Grubauer, just kind of looked like garbage in that game against Montreal. With the exception of, like, let's say, like a 7-minute point in the third period. Otherwise, yeah. The guys just kind of look crappy. I think that was just sort of a throwaway game. You're going to have those during the season. It's a long season. It's one of the longest seasons in professional sports. You have a long time where you're consistently playing at a high level, and you're going to have games that you just play like garbage. And I think to some extent, all these plays hasn't necessarily been a result of him and the way he's been playing, but the fact that he's getting pulled is more of a wake-up call to the guys that are skating and telling them, you know what? This guy is not always going to be there to bail you out. You need to play better. I'm not too concerned. I think they're going to pick it up. They've got some interesting games coming up, and I think that they're going to wake up. They're going to be able to turn it on. And I think they have guys around them that are not going to allow this to continue.
Hopefully that's true.
It seems like everything's like a step behind.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, they have time. Like, it's not the week before the playoffs.
Yeah, they
where you're getting concerned. There's plenty of time for them to be able to wake up.
There's about 6 weeks left in the regular season, so we got 6 more shows to do before it gets really fun. Yeah, but hopefully, you know, this team can get out of this funk that they're in. A lot of people are pointing their finger at Braden Holtby saying he's going through a slump. I think it's more the defense. You know, there were a lot of rebounds that should have been recovered in the Montreal game, and the defense wasn't there to back him up, and I'm sure there was one or two that he wished he could have gotten back, but it still sucks that he got pulled and these guys weren't able to come together. That you do have off nights, but we brought this up every game or every show this year. I love the fact that they looked terrible, just like a
team. Yeah, they looked not good. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, a team that had checked out before the game had started, but they still rally back and almost win 4-3. That's almost unheard of. The fact that no matter how many points this team is down, it's going to be a close game towards the end.
Let's also give a little bit of credit to the goaltender, Mike Condon, and how well he played in that game. He was on fire. That dude played well. He definitely earned the opportunity to get a win in that game and to get the W. And credit to him for the way he played. But with the way the Caps were playing, they should have been doing better. They should have had more opportunities to score. I was disappointed in their overall performance from the Montreal game and the fact that they were still in it.
To win it.
It was impressive. Thanks. Yeah, dork. It was impressive.
It was.
Well, we have higher expectations now. And I think the closer we get to the playoffs, if these things keep happening, then we have a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully.
And let's talk about. You were talking about the defense. How many freaking odd man rushes do the Canadians have? Like, once or twice, you're like, all right, guys, stop. Like, you know, Trotz yells at the guys on the bench or in the intermission. He's during the break, he's kind of like, you know, stop it. Pay attention. Know where everybody is on the ice. It's not that difficult. You're professionals. And then it continually was happening. And you're just like, at some point, I kind of expected Trotz to comically, like, have a clipboard, just, like, toss it in the air and walk away. Just be like, all right, you know what? I'm done. I can't deal with this. This is so stupid. Like, how does this keep happening? It didn't happen. I really wanted it to happen. But, you know, he wasn't helping me out. So, yeah, there's plenty of times where things were just ridiculous. That's why I take the Canadiens game as sort of an anomaly in the whole thing. It's just be a blip in the season, because that normally does not happen where they get – there are times where they play poorly. That's normal. But for them to play poorly and consistently play that poorly defensively, though, we haven't seen that much this season. So that's why I think that game against the Canadiens was just sort of a crap game. Like, it just was unfortunate the way it ended up.
Was it do you think it had anything to do with the fact that Brooks Orpik is still kind of getting back into game form? Do you think that having him back on the ice, although a great thing and a great thing for this team, is there still a bit of a curve for him because he's coming back from having not playing for 3 months?
I mean, he wasn't on the ice for all of them, was he?
No, he wasn't. I'm just saying.
He's going to have some moments where he's going to make a mistake. It's not going to happen that often because he's old enough now that I'm sure he knows how to come back from an injury, though he has maybe not won quite this long. But they weren't all on him. All the odd man rushes were not as a result of Orpik being on the ice. So for the amount of times it happened, like if it was a couple of times throughout the game, like three or four times, and every time it was Orpik was made a mistake, then I'd be like, well, yeah, all right, it's him. But it wasn't. It was a lot of the guys that were causing this to happen, and it was ridiculous. Yeah. And a couple of – were any of them shorties? No? Maybe that was the game against the Coyotes or someone else. But it was embarrassing. It was ridiculous. I was eating dinner, and I see it happen, and they miss. And I'm like, okay, good. And I go down to get a bite, and I look up, and it'd be another odd man rush. What are you doing? Stop. I think that was just a poorly played defensive game. The offense didn't show up. It was just a bad game.
And luckily enough, I only got to see a little bit of it. I got to hear a bit of it because I was driving home in my car that turned into a boat last night because of the crazy rainstorms.
I almost got stuck on a road because I couldn't see that the road had flooded.
Really? Oh, man.
I drove through the water, and I just hit it. And right as I was about to hit it, I saw it. And if I slammed on my brakes, I was going to be in it when I stopped.
Right.
So my car almost came to a stop, and then it kept going. And I was like, ooh, okay, I feel better.
That was my entire hour-long trip home, is that I would just see a puddle. And this is probably the wrong thing to do. But I just gunned it. And I'm like, I can get through this. I can definitely get through this. And
the thing is, it wasn't like near a river, so I was really confused as to why that part of the road flooded. Like, it wasn't at a different elevation. It wasn't like a little bit of a hill or a dip. It was weird. Yeah. But yeah, dude, that storm was crazy and super dangerous.
Yeah, that sucked. And then once I got home, my basement was flooded, so that was fun too.
Oh, that's usually bad.
Yeah, that's usually a bad thing. So let's get back to hockey, though. Let's talk about we're going to stick with the defense. Two big moves really came out of this week. Taylor Chorney got re-signed to I think it was a 2-year deal, and the Capitals acquired a new defenseman in Mike Weber. What's your thoughts on these two moves?
I like him. Chorney, that surprised me because I think it was the day before they announced the deal. We were talking about how he was playing for his next contract with the Caps or another team.
They heard our show, and they're like, we need to get this guy.
They're like, oh, really? That's what they said? Let's do the opposite. And so I was surprised. I was a little surprised also because they have a lot of guys in the minors that may be looking to come up next season or the one after that.
Right.
But I guess they're confident in him. They know that he apparently is comfortable with that role as the seventh defenseman and not playing every night, but that he can also step in and play well when he needs to be and play well consistently when he needs to step in. So
it's gotta be
not expensive.
No, not at all. But this has to be a bit of a reward for him, being like, look, we all know you weren't going to play 3 months straight, but you did pretty well in Brooks Orpik's absence.
If you're going to reward him, give him one more season. But to two, I think it's more of like, this is one of our guys. We think he's a solid player, and he's willing to sit as a seventh defenseman, and he's not that expensive.
Right.
How much was his deal? Let me look it up real quick.
I think it was $2 million, $1
million? Chorney or – all right, so his cap, it'll be somewhere – it'll be like – it's probably $800,000. That's not bad. I'll take that for a seventh defense because you're not eating up too much of the cap and they're going to have some space. It's not going to hurt you in the end. It's not going to make you have problems re-signing Kuznetsov or Johansson or Chimera or the other guys that they may be looking at in the offseason to have to bring back. So, or if they want to bring it back. So it's a solid move. I like it.
All right. And what about this new guy, Mike Weber? I was a little shocked to bring in another defenseman, but is this just,
I told you
you did.
I told you. I didn't say Weber, but I told you they're bringing in defensive depth. And they made the move. I don't think it was a surprise at all. I think having depth is good. Weber, he's on a cheap contract. His contract's up at the end of the season, so he's a rental. Yes, they can go and re-sign him, though I don't see why they would do that since they re-signed Chorney. I don't think they're going to be getting rid of anybody else on the defensive end. They're not going to trade Orpik. They're not going to trade Niskanen. They're not getting rid of Alzner or Carlson. They're not moving Orlov. I doubt it. And they're not moving Schmidt. So I think this was merely a move for defensive depth. It's an opportunity to rest a guy. Orpik's coming back. You play him a couple of games. Maybe then you give him a night off and you let Chorney play or Weber. I think it's an opportunity to have depth, especially in the playoffs. If you want to make a long playoff run, you have to prepare to deal with injuries. Every team is hit by injuries, whether it's a guy missing one game or two games or three games or two guys missing a game. You need to have depth. Weber, I think, is a solid enough defenseman for, and he's going to be good for this team. And he's gone after the season, so you don't have to worry about going into next season what his contract may be.
So what does this now do to this Caps team cap-wise, and what does this mean for who's still going to be a part of this team? Trade deadline's coming up. We're definitely going to be talking about that. Let's talk about that next. You've got Mike Weber now. You put Jay Beagle on long-term injury reserve, yet he's skating with the team, so all signs point to Beagle Watch 2016 ending next week or so because he's already skating with the team. He's got... They made room for Weber now, but what happens when they activate Beagle? McClellan talked to the media today. He already said they're not putting Galiev on waivers because they think he's gonna get scooped up. They want to keep him.
Yeah.
What do you think's gonna happen here?
Speaking of, Galiev's been playing pretty well these last two games. He doesn't have any goals to show for it, but he's definitely playing better. Galiev's starting to come around. According to General Fanager, they still have one spot left on their 50-man roster. So they can bring Beagle back and not have to drop someone. Now, cap-wise, I'm not sure. Weber's full deal does not necessarily count against the cap because they're so far into the season.
And half of that salary is staying in Buffalo.
Yeah, they don't care. They got plenty of cap space. So I'm not too concerned. I think they're probably going to have to make a move. I think they're going to have to do something in terms of moving somebody out or down. It's not going to be Galiev because they don't want to lose him. I don't know. It's going to be tricky to see what they decide to do. And I can't remember specifically when the rosters get bigger because I think the thing is right now they need to send a body down to be able to bring Beagle back, right? Because at the moment they have 13 forwards, 8 defensemen, and 2 goalies. So that's what – hold on. I got to do math and we don't like my – oh, that's 23. That's easy. Yeah, so they have to send somebody down. I don't know. My guess, and it's interesting because, like you were saying, McClellan spoke today. He had a little press conference kind of thing. He talked to the reporters, and he had a lot of interesting things to say. And one of the most interesting things is he was talking about Brooks Lake. And he said he's been a good soldier and he's loyal, but that it's a business. I thought that was interesting the way he put that. Like, he had to add that little bit at the end about the fact that it's a business. So I wouldn't be surprised if they moved him. I don't think it's going to happen. But they're going to have to send somebody down. And I don't know who you send down aside from Galia. And I don't think they want to send him down. Now, they could trade him. You could move Galia out and get something for him as opposed to putting him on waivers. That's possible as well. But they're going to have to do something before Beagle comes back. And if they don't make it by Monday, then they have to try and, you know, send someone on waivers. But I'm pretty sure everybody else has to go. With the exception of, like, Burakovsky, maybe? Or Kuznetsov? I have no idea.
Oh, man, I honestly don't know what's going to happen.
Someone's going to get moved out. Some back of the... I don't know what the word I was looking for there, but some guy that's not playing as often may get moved out. Watch it be Michael Lotta.
They're going to split up the man crushes, the Tom Wilson and Michael Lotta. They're going to take those guys apart. I mean, I don't know if either of them will survive without the other.
It's going to happen one day. Like, it's going to happen. That's what it works. Like, look at Matt Bradley. Look at Matt Hendricks. You have your core and you surround them with guys, and then when they become too expensive, you move them out and you bring someone else in that's younger, and you bring up a younger guy to do it. It's going to happen someday with Lotta. It's going to happen whether you like it or not someday with Beagle. It's going to happen. I mean, Williams is going to happen because he's 34. It's going to happen. Chimeri's 36. Eventually, he's going to leave. So these things happen. You move guys out and you replace them with other guys. Same thing will probably happen with Orlov and Nate Schmidt. Actually, take that back because Orpik is so freaking old that it's possible you can replace Orpik with one of those guys in the future.
It'll be very interesting to see because these guys can definitely be sellers at this point. They have an abundance of talent. Brooks,
let's not go there. Let's not call them sellers per se. Like, you make a move to free up space to bring in Beagle.
Right.
Yeah.
So you
sell a guy, but you're not a seller because that sounds like they're just getting rid of guys because they can't. They're not good enough, which is definitely not the case for this team.
The only move I can think of is Brooks. Like, we've talked about this every single show. You take him out because he's a fourth liner, because he's making a ton of money, and you put Mike Richards in his spot. You bring Jay Beagle back so he centers up that fourth line. That's what I think if they do anything.
It does hurt your depth, though.
What's that?
Losing Like hurts your depth.
It does. It does.
He's just so expensive. He is the third most expensive forward on this team behind Backstrom and Ovechkin.
What about what about a guy like do you get rid of or not get do you move out Tom Wilson, somebody like that, who hasn't really shown the spirit that they
Dude,
thought.
Wilson's 21. There's no way they're getting rid of him.
Okay. I was just gonna say
unless they get see, that's the thing. I would say unless they get a guy who's like a top six forward, but they don't need a top six forward.
They don't. They really don't need anybody. Like if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of thing.
Nashville was to offer, say, Philip Forsberg.
Let it go, man. Let it go.
That's like where would you even fit him into the roster right now?
I don't know. Like the only reason I'm saying Tom Wilson is because he seems like he's a little bit in Barry Trotz's doghouse.
He was his last game because he took many stupid penalties. You know what? You go sit over there. What did we say? You don't get to play if you're gonna be dumb. He was dumb, so he didn't get to play.
Right, so in the first period, he got a couple dumb penalties. Second period, he didn't play at all. And then the third period, he barely went out and was only a part of the power play. Or I think it was the power play. Very few chances for him to play. So, you know, he's another guy that if you're gonna spend a lot of money on, you know, he's not coming to fruition of what they thought he would at one time. So he's another guy that potentially could have other people looking at him and saying, oh, yeah, he could be a good fit on our team. But, again, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Really, this team doesn't need anyone, you know, unless it's a depth player. But at the same time, somebody's leaving because Jay Beagle's coming back, unless Jay Beagle is the one leaving, which we're not even going to discuss that.
You're going to be so pissed if that happens. It'd be so bad. I'll be sitting at work and I get a text from you. No!
And then just a picture of a dog at the end. And you're going to be like, oh, no.
That would be so funny. I would not be mad that they traded him just for the humor aspect of it. It would be so good. Dude, I don't even know what's going to happen because trades are happening right now as we speak. I just had to update my notes for later in the show because a massive trade just went down. But we'll talk about that in a little bit.
All right.
Old trade. Let's talk about the rest of the McClellan stuff that we heard about today. I think the Caps are going to be quiet. I don't expect a lot to happen going into the trading deadline for the Capitals and after it's over. McClellan says, now then again, we've also seen that McClellan is full of S when he says stuff sometimes. So I don't really know what he's going to do. It's sort of tough to say. But he said he doesn't expect to bring in a top nine forward. He likes the lines as they are. He doesn't expect anything drastic to happen. And he expects to have the roster cleaned up by 3 p.m. on Monday and to make room for Beagle. So I think they're going to do something. They're going to have to do something because the dude's – still on the – I mean, like they have to get rid of somebody. So it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do. He doesn't want to waive Galiev like we talked about because he thinks they're going to lose them, as you mentioned. I don't expect that to happen. Contract extensions will happen after the season. That's good to know because the Caps have a bunch of guys that they're going to need to find money for. namely Marcus Johansson, Jason Chimera, Tom Wilson, Michael Latta, Dmitry Orlov, and Jason Chimera. I'm sorry, Mike Richards, if they decide to bring them back. I know you want to see Justin Peters return. They have to talk about that. Connor Carrick is going to be in need of a new deal. Who else do we have? It's not going to happen. Mike Weber, but it's not going to happen. But they're going to have to find ways to fit these guys in under the cap, which is expected to go up. But someone is going to be not returning, and I wonder who it will be. And the last little bit is that he said he would love to have Philip Forsberg on the team, but says the organization needs to move on. You can't get hung up on past mistakes, which first I thought was, damn, dude, a little shot at George McPhee there, number one. And I was having a little fun with thinking, like, where would Forsberg fit on this roster right now? Like, look at the lineup. Where's he going?
That's very...
Now, if you have him, you're fitting him in there. No question about it.
Right.
My guess is either Burakovsky or Williams is on the third line. I think it's Forsberg, Kuznetsov, and either Burakovsky or Williams.
Man, we were talking back in the day, Kuznetsov, Forsberg, Wilson all on one line, and how crazy of a line that would be. But
well, yeah, that would be far in the future.
Yeah, very far in the future. But, you know what? Everybody's talked about it. I'm glad McClellan's probably just saying it was a mistake and we all need to move on or whatever. Just
call it out, McPhee.
But come on, I'm telling you, Forsberg was never, ever going to wear a Caps jersey. He was never planned into this organization.
Yeah, he was. I'm telling you, man. He was part of the plan, and then McPhee freaking panicked that this team was not going to make the playoffs. He went, oh, my God. And he had to do something, and he made a dumb move because he panicked about his job, and that makes you think like an idiot. And he made him be dumb. And if you're dumb, you don't get to play.
You don't get to be a GM. But
you don't get to be a GM if you're a moron.
But look,
that's a new one for the dude in Chicago to make up.
There you go. Look, Forsberg was never going to be a part of this team. He was always going to be trade bait just for this specific reason. You know, he was George McPhee had it in his back pocket. If he ever had to make a panic move, he was going to have this guy who could potentially
do it better. Don't trade it for a guy you're not even going to freaking use.
Exactly. The ERAT trade still sucks, but I'm saying the plan was for always to have Forsberg ship out to get somebody better in. But George McPhee made a terrible choice.
I still don't buy it. I still think they got – I think they never were going to – like, they didn't even look at Forsberg because they didn't expect him to be there. So when they popped up and they're like, he's still on the board? And they're like, oh, my God. So they didn't expect us. They weren't prepared, but – no, I think it was all McPhee panicked. He thought, oh, crap, I'm in trouble. I'm going to lose my job. I need to make a move. And he made the dumbest move possible. Well, no, it's not the dumbest move possible. He could have made dumber moves, let's be honest. But that one was pretty bad.
Really bad. So, anything else we should cover in Caps World?
No. That's pretty much it. I mean, what? We're talking next week, and it'll be after the trade deadline. So, yeah, I mean, I don't expect anything big to happen at the deadline. Do you really think they're going to do anything massive?
I was shocked that we got Weber. Honestly, I thought the Mike Richards move was it, and I figured that we were one and done. When I saw his name pop up as I was leaving work the other day, I was like, oh, wow, this is – I wasn't expecting this at all. But you know what? They've surprised me a lot this year, so let's see what else they can do before this trade deadline is over. But I think they're going to be pretty quiet.
I mean – the defensive move didn't surprise me. I think Richards basically was their forward depth move. I think it's possible for them to move. No, I just don't think they'll do it. They have to do something. I don't know what it'll be, but they got to do something to be able to fit Beagle back in. So they're going to have to make some move at the deadline. They're definitely not going to be quiet, but I don't expect it's not going to be anything big. They're not going to go out and get Stamkos. They're not going to go out and get Jonathan from Tampa. They're not going to go out and get somebody from Jersey or Buffalo again, or any of those teams. Like, they're going to go out and they're going to be quiet. I don't expect massive things happening.
Neither do I. But hey, crazier things have happened, and we'll talk about that next week if it does. All right, so I think that's pretty much it for what's going on in Caps World. We are going to go down on the farm, but before we do, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. It is time for Down on the Farm. We are talking Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 2-1 with wins over Providence and Wilkes-Barre Scranton, and unfortunately lost to Providence. The Bears are currently 30-15-10, good for 70 points, which puts them first in the East Division based on point total. One up on Wilkes-Barre Scranton. However, the AHL website lists them as second, which I'm guessing is due to the Baby Pens having a better win percentage. I don't know how the website works. I looked it up earlier and I went, wait, they have more points, but you have them in second. Huh? I don't know. The Bears have also played two more games, so they got to keep winning. Hope the Pens, Baby Pens go on a losing streak, and then things will fall nicely into place. The Bears will be back at it on Friday in Toronto and Sunday at the Giants Center against Utica. In other Bear news, the team lost forward Paul Carey to a season-ending shoulder injury. That is a tough break for that dude. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 4-0.
Nice.
Three wins over Greenville and a win over Florida. Stingrays are currently 31-17-6, good for 68 points, which puts them second in the South Division, two back of first-place Florida, though the Stingrays have played two more games. Do you remember a little while ago we were talking about how they were like 12 games back or 14 games back? Now they're like two
All right.
points back of first-place Florida. The Stingrays will be back at it with back-to-back games in Florida on Saturday and Sunday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, before we get going off the farm, I do want to bring up the fact that Nathan Walker, Washington Capital owned Hershey Bear playing Australian Nathan Walker, is having a really good season with the Hershey Bears. A stat came out over on Twitter earlier this week. Dude has 15 points in 22 games for the AHL since the new year happened. So that's pretty impressive from this guy.
That is impressive. He may get an opportunity to play a game depending on how the Bears are doing. I wouldn't be surprised if the Caps wanted to get, you know, somebody took a little knock or something, Caps wanted to give somebody a chance to play, bring him up.
That's what we saw last year with Galiev. I mean, if they want to give that special spotlight to another Bear, Nathan Walker's having a great season, and he might be the next guy you see coming up for a game or two with the Capitals if things are still going the way they are for the Capitals this season. So, might see our first Australian NHLer. That could be fun. All right, so that is pretty much it for what's going on down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, here we go. We are going around the NHL. Trade deadline is approaching. Plenty of moves going on. People are trading players. They're trading concussions. They're trading fists and fights and everything else. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Let's start in Florida, where they signed forward Sean Thornton to a one-year extension. Now let's go to Chicago, where breaking news as we were talking. Chicago acquired Andrew Ladd, Jay Harrison, and Matt Frazier from Winnipeg for Marco Dano. And he's got a cool name, by the way. He sounds like an X-Men character.
Marco Dano.
They got Marco Dano and a first-round pick in the 2016 NHL draft. Chicago, not playing around. Vancouver acquired Marcus Granlund from Calgary for Hunter Shinkaruk. He's got an interesting name. San Jose acquired Nick Spaulding and Roman Pollock from Toronto for Rafi Torres, a second-round pick in 2017 and a second-round pick in 2018. Colorado acquired Sean Mathias from Toronto for Colin Smith and a fourth-round pick in 2016. So the crazy season is upon us, Brandon. It's happening. People getting traded. And finally, let's head over to Russia, because why not? Reports out of crazy land are saying that hockey star, as they put it, Ilya Kovalchuk, may be returning to the NHL if his KHL team doesn't do what he wants. So what you have here is the classic case of a kid saying, you're not doing what I want, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home.
I'm going to America.
Only in this place he's leaving home, but it still works in the joke I'm trying to make. The point is, Kovalchuk, in what I'm reading, you had mentioned that he got stripped of his captaincy. And what I am reading is he was removed from the squad and has been placed on an individual training program. Sure. So he's pissed, and he's threatening that if they don't put him back on the team in 2 days, he's going back to the NHL.
What? Interesting.
Oh, wait, hold on. Do you think that could be because the trading deadline's coming up?
That's what I'm thinking. Could he be back in America by Monday?
He'll be back and New Jersey will trade him.
So wait, no, so the Devils still have his rights, correct?
I think the Devils would still have his rights.
Because it hasn't been
actually I don't know, because he retired. And it's a podcast, so this was stupid, me doing air quotes. But air quotes, he retired.
How do you do air quotes on a podcast? Like, how?
Well, you can see them, so it's, I don't know.
Maybe I need to put in like a little sound effect, just a whoop, whoop.
Or you say, so he quote unquote retired, but that's not going to happen. That would be the most ridiculous thing. The deadline is if he comes back in time for New Jersey to trade him to another team. That would be pretty funny. But no, he just sounds like he's a little baby. I want what I want and you're not giving it to me. So I'm not going to play for you.
Well, he was a huge superstar.
I'll go back to the NHL. Yeah, he was a huge star in the NHL. And then the lockout happened, and he realized he wanted to go back home and play in Russia, which is fine. But he was a dick about it. And the way he went about it was a gigantic dick move, especially after he screwed over the Devils, and they had to give up a draft pick or two.
I think
because
so.
Because of the way they tried to circumvent the cap to sign him, even though plenty of teams have been doing the same stuff. So that whole thing was just screwy.
If you remember, too, he was one of the last guys to come back after the lockout had been unlocked. And he stayed for their All-Star game, for the KHL All-Star game. So he was one of the last guys to come back to the States. So this whole situation, since the lockout happened, he's been like everybody's doghouse. He's done everything wrong. So I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking. I mean, we've seen guys come back. Jaromir Jagr came back after being away from the NHL for many years. So, I mean, crazier things have happened. Somebody could be desperate enough and pick him up.
I mean, crazier things have happened with players getting moved around. But I don't if anything, I would be surprised to see him come back in the offseason. But I don't know who holds his rights. That's the tricky part.
I would think it's the Devils, but since he did retire, I don't know. Like, because I remember Tim Thomas said he didn't retire. He just felt like taking a year off, and they traded him to the Islanders, and it was just a money move.
Was that
move.
Before he chose he was coming back?
He took a year off, and then the year after that, he's like, all right, I want to come back now. And then I don't think anybody wanted
guys,
him.
I want to play again.
And then he played for Team USA at Worlds. It's, I don't know. I don't know how it all works.
Team USA at Worlds?
He was a goalie with...
He was there. Did he play?
Yeah, yeah. It was him in goal, and the guy backing up was what was his name? Legio. He was.
In Worlds. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, because no one else wants to play in Worlds.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the last time I've seen him on TV. All right. So I mean, maybe we'll see Kovalchuk next year. I don't think we're gonna see him by Monday.
Dude, what if he takes a really cheap deal and comes to the Caps?
I mean, he's got. There's a lot of Russians here. He would be right at home.
But buddies with Ovechkin, I think.
He is. It didn't help Alex Semin out, though.
Well, that's because Alex Semin didn't give a crap.
That's true. But obviously Kovalchuk doesn't either. But we shall see. So that I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. If you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. We are both on Twitter. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find some of my old writings and someday some new stuff over to CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads. Which, Brandon, have you gotten a new one?
I really want to go to that Holtpiece game.
Dude, I saw the thing, and it looks really stupid.
It does. It looks really bad. Of all the things that they've made,
it is pretty weak.
I like crazy things, too, and this is not crazy.
This is pretty bad.
But I still want it, because that's the kind of hoarder I am.
I don't know if they'll have that on Capitals Outsider, but you can go ahead and check it out. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, tell me about Brando Cash Entertainment.
Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Also go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast and follow us on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. So check us out, like us, comment, do whatever you got to do on Facebook and Twitter for What the Puck. Now, we do this show for free. You guys, you listen, you stream, and you download for free. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about What the Puck. There are only 6 weeks left of the regular season. Get all your bandwagon friends together. Tell them if you want to learn hockey before the Stanley Cup playoffs, listen to What the Puck. They'll get you ready. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web, say, I'm a Caps fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. Real quick, before we get out of here, guys, I want to let you know I was a guest on the Baltimore Sports Today. Today is Thursday the 25th. They do a daily podcast about Baltimore sports. I was lucky enough to be a guest on the show talking Caps hockey. So please, guys, go check that out. It's on the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Thanks to Zach and everybody at the Baltimore Sports Report for having me on the show. It was a ton of fun. I really enjoyed talking Caps hockey with somebody besides Coach Dan. But look at that.
What the hell does that mean? Finally, I get to talk to somebody else. Just sounded like a jerk.
Yeah, you were just like, on the webcam, you just seemed to be zoning out. I'm like, I'm going to get his attention back. That's what I'm going
to
do.
I'm looking at Twitter to see if anybody else is going to make a crazy trade. And all of a sudden, Brandon was a dick. I was like, what the fuck did I do? I hope you guys have enjoyed the last episode ever of What the Puck.
No, don't say it.
Brandon was mean to me, guys.
I also want to give a quick shout out to some new Caps fans, some new friends that I made this past week. Baltimore is finally getting its own little Caps group. I got to hang out with a good group of people at the Abbey Burger Bistro in Fells Point last Thursday to see the Caps win in overtime. They've decided this group is going to start meeting together on Thursday nights or Wednesday nights, whenever a Caps game happens in Baltimore at the Abbey Burger Bistro, and watch games together. That is a ton of fun because hockey is one of those sports where you got to watch in a big group, and Baltimore really doesn't have a place to go, a central place to go for Caps games. So Baltimore Caps fans is the Facebook group. Go check them out if you're in the area and become a part of the meetup. It's pretty cool. So let's talk about the games coming up until we talk again. On Friday, February 26th, the Capitals are at home up against the Wild. It's Holt Beast giveaway night. Hope you guys get to go. Someone grab me one of those Holt Beast action figures because I can't make it down there.
Don't get one for me.
And
don't get me one. They look like crap.
That game is at 7 o'clock, and that can be seen on Comcast Sportsnet. Then on Sunday, February 28th, the Capitals are in Chicago up against the Blackhawks. That is an early riser, guys, 12:30, and that one is a nationally televised game on NBC. Then on Tuesday, March 1st, the Capitals are back at home up against the Penguins, making up for one of those blizzard games. That game is at 7 o'clock. That will be aired nationally again on NBC Sports. And then on Wednesday, March 2nd, the Capitals are up against the Maple Leafs at home. 7 o'clock start, Comcast Sportsnet. So 4 games to watch until we talk again. Wild, Blackhawks, Penguins, Maple Leafs. Hopefully the Capitals can pick up another couple wins. Should be a lot of fun to watch, guys. It's gonna be a fun next couple weeks until the postseason starts. So soak it up in now. And if you're going to a game, if you're watching at home, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps!
Yeah.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.